Good morning and welcome to church. Good to see everyone here. Can you please find your hymnal and let's turn to song number 424. We will sing Joy to the World. Song number 424. Let's sing it out loud. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day we gather at church. Lord, how glorious day will be when your kingdom will come and rule over the nations of this world. Lord, I want to thank you for the Bible. It is our rock and our foundation. We thank you for our salvation, Lord, also. It's an unspeakable gift, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, brethren, please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Let's continue our reading through this together. We're up to verse number 105. Verses 105 to 112. Let's read together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. All right, before I hand back to Brother Rams, just want to remind you guys that next Sunday, we're having our church anniversary celebrations, okay? Next Sunday. So instead of coming here at 12, you come at 12, you're too late. Service is going to be at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And at New Life, Brother Jason's going to be preaching, so I don't have to be spending time there for next week. But don't forget, Sunday, 10 a.m., right here, anniversaries, and the church anniversary, and then we're going to Rache's in Karama, which is 5 minutes away, and we'll have a lunch together, okay? So that's all we'll be doing during the anniversary. Now, I'm not sure, there might be some of the people coming that might need to get baptized, so I'll just see how the week plays out. If there are people that need to get baptized, or if someone knows that you need to get baptized, please let me know, and we can probably do it on the same day, same Sunday. Yeah, so that's number one. The second thing that I want to mention is soul winning. Okay, from the 15th of December, unless Omicron has changed things, supposedly we're supposed to be able to go out as an unvaccinated person, go door to door, visit people now. We shouldn't have any restrictions that will stop us from soul winning. So we've got a mega marathon week coming up, starting on Wednesday. The morning session will be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then after that, we'll be having lunch together. Lunch will be provided by the church. That's if someone else comes in the morning. All right, if it's just me, I want to have lunch, church provided by the church. Lunch provided by the church. But if there are people in the morning, that's 10 to 12. And then in the afternoon, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Okay? So it's going to be 4 hours of soul winning every day. That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Not on Sunday because we've got our church anniversary. And then again on Monday and Tuesday. So what I've done, I've got a list here. Mega week. So if you are planning to come, I'm going to leave that on the back table there with all the lollies. Please write down your names and when you intend to come, because then that helps me plan out the maps and all that stuff for the coming week. So can I just see a show of hands of who is planning on coming at least for one of those things? All right, so we've got a few hands. All right, awesome. All right, so I'll leave this at the back table and now I'll hand back to Brother Ramsen. Thank you.
Please turn to hymn number 37. There be no dark valley. Song number 37. Let's turn to song number 159, Blessed Be the Name. 159, Blessed Be the Name.
Be the Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations chapter 4, starting in verse 1. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are pulled out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people is become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaves to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. Their visage is blacker than a core. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaves to their bones. It is withered. It is become like a stick. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has accomplished his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger and has kindled the fire in Zion, and it has devoured the foundations thereof. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. They have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood, so that man could not touch their garments. They cried unto them, Depart ye, it is unclean. Depart, depart, touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, They shall no more sojourn there. The anger of the Lord had divided them. He will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priests, they favored not the elders. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. They hunt our steps, that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near, our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains, they laid way for us in the wilderness. The breast of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their peace, of whom we said, Under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of us. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shalt make thyself naked. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for your words. I just pray that you bless the pastor as he preaches your word with your power and spirit, knowledge and wisdom. And help us, your children, learn your word and do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, so Lamentations chapter 4 there. I'm just going to warn you now, this is not going to be a pleasant sermon. Like there's almost, I don't know, you heard that read? You saw that read? Could you find any like positive takeaways from that chapter? Probably not much, maybe nothing, okay? So it's going to be a negative sermon. I hope I don't like leave you in the dumps. But you know what? Even when we have these confronting chapters and negative chapters, you know, it's still God's word. There's still profit. We can still learn something, right? We can still learn more about God and learn more about his ways. And learn more about the God that we worship. And it says there in Lamentations 4:10, look at verse number 10, the hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. The title for the sermon this afternoon is Sodden Their Own Children. Sodden Their Own Children. I was thinking about what should I use to describe this chapter. And it's really, I don't know if you really know what that means, to sodden your own children. We'll touch upon that soon, but this is a very bad place that Jerusalem is in. Remind yourselves they're surrounded by the Babylonian Empire. You know, they're being destroyed. They're without food. You know, they're dying by the pestilence and by hunger and by all the other methods of destruction at the hands of God. And they're not listening to the preaching. They're not listening to preachers like Jeremiah. They're not giving themselves over to the Babylonians. And they're just making it worse for themselves. One thing that we can take away from this chapter is just to see how far, how depraved man can be when we lose all our liberties, when we lose all our comforts, and just how depraved, just how wicked mankind can become. So let's start there in verse number 1, Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 1. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. So verse number 1, it says there's the stones of the sanctuary. The sanctuary was the house of God, the temple, right? Solomon's temple that he built at this time. And we know that the Babylonians have come in a few times before this final siege. And what have they done? They've taken away the gold. They've taken away the precious things that were part of that temple. You may recall when the temple was built, much of it was gold, silver, and brass. And the Babylonians have come and taken away all the precious ornaments for their own riches. And so the gold has become dim, okay? It's no longer beautiful. It no longer reflects the glory of God, right? And then it says the stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of the street. So the stones, the stones that made up the building, it's scattered throughout the street. Now this is the temple has been destroyed at this point, or at least large parts of the temple has been destroyed. And whatever street you walk through in Jerusalem, you're going to find stones that made up the temple, the house of God, the sanctuary. Verse number 2. The precious sons of Zion. So these are the men that lived in Jerusalem, comparable to fine gold. So just like the fine gold that we spoke about, even the men in Jerusalem are like this gold. In what sense? How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Now we often talk about how God is the potter and we are the clay, right? And we want to be vessels that are being used by God, vessels unto honor. And he says, look, the people in Jerusalem, just like the gold was once to beautify the sanctuary, to beautify the temple. It was for the service and the worship of God, but now it's been taken away by the Babylonians. Well, just like the people, the men of Jerusalem, who should have been committed unto the Lord, serving the Lord, now they're taken away into captivity and taken away into Babylon. So all the things that God would glory in, or that would give God glory, have been taken away by the hands of the enemy, including the sons of Zion. All right, let's keep going. Verse number 3. Even the sea monsters draw out the breast, they give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people is become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. So we talk about the men have been taken away into captivity, and now we still have some of the ladies, the daughters of the people. It says here they've become cruel. In what sense have they become cruel? The ladies have become cruel. Well, he basically uses two creatures here, or two types of animals, to describe how the women have become. First of all, we see that the sea monsters, what could the sea monsters be here? They draw out the breasts, they give suck to the young ones. Obviously, this is not talking about fish. Okay, fish do not give breast milk to their little babies, right? So when we talk about the sea monsters here, we're talking about the mammals of the oceans. Things like seals and sea lions, dolphins and whales, you know, these are mammals of the oceans. And yes, you know, even the mothers have the breasts, and they are able to give milk to the little ones. And so we're describing a sea monster, just an animal, all right? Just an animal that's swimming in the ocean. They know how to be protective of their little children, right? They're born from the mother. They're not born like, you know, like fish, like a fish egg that's left aside and the predators can go and hunt for it. No, they're born like any other mammal or these creatures here. And then they're side by side with the mother until they're big enough to leave mum and dad, okay? That they drink from the breast of the mother. Now, this is, again, the natural love and desire that a mother has. When she gives birth to a little child, she wants that little baby close to her. She wants to be able to nourish it, feed it, clothe it, protect it. And that's how mothers ought to be. But the mothers here in the time of Jerusalem's captivity have become cruel. In what sense? Like the ostriches in the wilderness. Now look, I don't think, unless I'm mistaken, unless you know better than I'm not that familiar with ostriches, okay? But as far as I'm aware, I don't think ostriches are actually bad parents or anything like that, or bad mothers, okay? I mean, they are a creation of God. They are an animal in the animal kingdom, and generally speaking, even the mothers, animals, they know how to protect their young, and even ostriches, okay? But the difference with the ostrich and the sea monster, or the seals, etc., the dolphins, is that they're not a mammal, okay? When they lay an egg, right? And then you might know that the ostrich eggs are like there's so many predators that actually love to eat ostrich eggs, okay? And the ostrich might leave the nest for a period of time, not to neglect the young, but just to get food or whatever it needs to do. And that's when the predators come in and they take those big eggs, okay? Things like hyenas, lions, vultures, meerkats, baboons, these are all predators of ostrich eggs. And so the point is that the ostrich needs to sometimes go away from the nest and it leaves it unprotected. And that's what the mothers have become, like these unprotective mothers. Instead of having the child side by side, protecting that child, the mothers of Jerusalem have become the ostrich and they're leaving their children to become prey for the predators. All right? So I don't think there's anything wrong with an ostrich. Just remember, these are poetic words, okay? And we kind of see the differences of how one has to leave the eggs aside, whereas the other one, in the sea monsters, they are with their babies side by side until the baby's old enough to grow up. Now, what we've seen in the previous chapters is that the children of the city, they're starving. They're without food. They're begging for food. They're asking, Mom, we're starving. We need to be nourished. And there's nothing. Children are dying in the streets. That's why the mothers are no longer taking care of the kids. The kids are out there on their own, trying to make a living for themselves, trying to find scraps of food, whatever it can be. So this is what the mothers have become. And don't forget, the men have been taken away into captivity, so the men aren't there to provide. They're not there to, work hard, or they can't really. I mean, there's very little they can do, because the entire city is under siege. Look at verse number 4. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man break it unto them. Okay? So little children, not only are they hungry, they're thirsting. I mean, they're so thirsty. Their mouths are dry. Their tongue is stuck, right? To the mouth of the roof of their mouth there, okay? They're begging for food. No one's willing to give them any food because people are out looking for themselves. And brethren, this is what happens to a society when they've lost all the comforts, they've lost all the riches. They no longer care for other people. It's just, what can I get? How can I survive? What must I do to survive? And these are the consequences, brethren, of a generation that has rejected God, a generation that has rejected the preaching of His Word. And look, I don't know if we'll ever face difficulties like this. I hope not. I hope never have to deal with a situation like this. But I want you to remember, parents, that, our obedience to God's Word, our direction, our guidance affects our children. If we neglect God's Word, if we neglect His house, we neglect church, we're not helping our children. We're not helping them. There are going to be consequences down the line. As we turn against the Lord and turn against His ways, and we no longer have a zeal and love for God and His Word, it's going to affect our children in a negative way. These people, they're not here the preaching of Jeremiah. What is Jeremiah saying? Surrender to the Babylonians. I mean, it sounds horrible. Surrender to a foreign power. But it's better than your children suffering and dying in the streets. It's better than your children going without the Lord and being judged and chastised and suffering the anger, the consequences of the judgment of God. Starving children, dying in the streets. Verse number 5. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. So these are the rich people. Okay, they that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. Talking about the rich now, okay? They've been able to eat whatever they want, okay? Brought up in scarlet, so rich clothing, possessions in that time. And what are they doing? They're acting like the homeless. They're embracing dunghills. Now, this is literal, brethren, okay? What's happening? It's disgusting. They're looking for food and food scraps amongst the feces of the animal, the feces of human beings, whatever it is. They're so hungry. They're just going through trash. They're going through garbage. They're going through poo, all right? Looking for anything they can eat. I mean, what would get you to that point? I mean, the desperation of the people, because they're not listening to Jeremiah. They've destroyed themselves and they're destroying their own children. Verse number 6, for the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people, look at this, is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment and no hands stayed on her. I mean, look, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was severe. I mean, no one would want, fire and brimstone on this earth to rain down and destroy entire cities. And we look at that and go, yeah, you know what? For your homosexuality, you deserve the judgment of God. You deserve the wrath of God. You deserve the fires of hell. But you know what? These people, so-called people of God, they've got it worse. Because at least the Sodomites died immediately. Okay, these guys are suffering, long-term suffering. Okay, hunger. I mean, desperate for food. Their children dying. Their punishment is even greater than the punishment of Sodom. Verse number 7. Her Nazarites. Now, the Nazarite, if you made a Nazarite vow, you know, you were someone that you couldn't cut your hair until you accomplished your vow. The most famous Nazarite in the Bible is Samson. Okay. Now, let me just quickly say, because we're approaching Christmas, Jesus was not a Nazarite. A lot of people think Jesus was... This is why they put Jesus with long hair. They go, Jesus must have had long hair because he was a Nazarite. The Bible doesn't say he was a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene, meaning he was from Nazareth, the town of Nazareth. Okay, but the Nazarite vow is something completely different, where they make a special vow to God, and they would not eat any grapes. Okay, they wouldn't touch anything that was dead. Okay, they would keep themselves clean and pure and washed, and they would let their hair grow until they accomplished the vow. And once the vow was accomplished, then they could cut their hair. Okay, now I'm not teaching so much about the Nazarites, but the Nazarites basically would have stood out in the community. Okay, number one, because of the long hair, men with long hair, that's a bit unusual, okay? But they would have stood out. They would have been very clean, you know, keeping themselves from things that were unclean. They would have stood out. They would have been obvious. This man here walking through Jerusalem is a Nazarite. So what happens to the Nazarites in verse number 7? Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. Okay, so they stood out in the community. But what happens to them in verse number 8? Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. No one knows they're Nazarites anymore. Their skin cleaveth to their bones as it is withered. It has become like a stick. And they just look like anybody else, right? They're in the dumps. They look like homeless. I assume probably other people, other men in Jerusalem have long hair as well, because they can't take care of themselves. They're not able to cut their hair, right? When you had the lockdowns, we couldn't even access the barbers. And I tried my best to cut my hair, and it's all over the place, brethren, okay? But, you know, that's the situation. I mean, you can't even tell. Someone that's trying to keep themselves pure and clean and serving God and keeping a vow to God, they just look like anybody else in the city. Dirty, homeless, you know, looking for scraps. Verse number 9. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through the fruitful want of the fruits of the field. So fighting and dying against Babylon was better than starving in the city. Now, King Zedekiah, in the last, you know, he's the last king. He's rebellious against Babylon. He's rebellious against Jeremiah. Rebellious against the Lord. No, these are our rights. These are our freedoms. This is our city. How dare we allow some power to come here and tell us what to do? All right. Look, it would have been better. Just go and fight then. Instead of hiding in the city, go and fight. But you know what's even better than fighting? Surrender. The whole purpose of Jeremiah was surrender. Surrender to the Babylonians, and things would have been well with them. Look, there was no perfect answer to their situation. They'd become so bad, so deprived. God was so angry. God was judging that place, judging that nation, judging that city. The best option in a bad scenario was just surrender and give in to the new powers of the land. They're full of pride, aren't they? Full of rebellion. They don't want it to, no, I don't accept the new COVID mandates, Pastor Kevin. I don't accept our rights being stripped away. It's just going to be harder for you. It's just going to get harder and harder and harder when the rest of us have surrendered. Okay, whatever, let's move on then. Let's get on with our lives and let's make the best of a bad situation. If you can't do that, brethren, you're going to find yourself just constantly frustrated, constantly stressed, constantly negative. Right? And, you know, I mean, we're not facing these days like it is there, but we want to take the principles, the lessons, and apply it in the times that we live. Verse number 10. So we get the title for the sermon. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. Now, if you don't know what that means, let's keep reading. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. I can hardly read that. Not only had mothers deserted their children to look after themselves, trying to take care of themselves, but some mothers have eaten their own children. Some mothers are eating their own children. To sodden means to soak, but in reference to food is to boil. That's how desperate they had become, brethren. To
just eat their own kids. I mean, cannibalism, your own children. I mean, I just want to show you just how wicked, how depraved society can become without the Word of God. You know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, brethren, we're not just some church. We're not just some local small church here in Fairfield East. We're important. You know, we're important to proclaiming the righteousness of Christ, to teach the Word of God. Because if we do away with all the churches, we do away with all the preaching, brethren, our society is just going to become worse and worse. And you know what? It's already killing babies. We're, our society, our nation, is already murdering babies in the mother's womb. All right? I mean, we're already a depraved nation. And then we wonder, why is God judging us? Well, that's why. We live in a sick world. Yep. Killing babies in the mother's womb. Abortions. To sodden, as I said, is to soak, in reference to imagine boiling your own children. Keep your finger there and please turn to 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to read to you another portion of scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6. And this is at another time, and this is happening to the northern kingdom of Israel, not, you know, in Jeremiah's day, Lamentations. This is about the southern kingdom of Judah. But the same thing happened to the northern kingdom of Israel. They too had become so depraved, okay, so wicked. 2 Kings, and for them, they were surrounded, they were under the siege of Syria, okay, Syria. So let's have a look at this. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 24. 2 Kings chapter 6. And verse number 24, the Bible reads, "And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts, and they went up and besieged Samaria." So in Lamentations, we have Jerusalem under siege. In 2 Kings 6, we have Samaria. Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. Okay, the ten tribes, right? The southern kingdom were the two tribes. Okay, so this is about Samaria. Look at verse number 25. "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver." They were so hungry, if you could just get a donkey's head to eat. I mean, I don't know what meat can you get off a donkey's head. Anyway, you're eating the eyes, I guess, you're eating the brains, all right? Sold for 80, so 80, that's 4 times 20, 80 pieces of silver. And look at this, "and the fourth part of a cab..." I don't know what that is exactly, "of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Just getting a dove's dung. Now look, just recently my kids, we've picked up a rainbow lorikeet on the street. It's been attacked by some crows. It's now our pet. And man, that rainbow lorikeet eats fruit and what else does it eat? Pretty much fruit all the time. Just sugary stuff. And it's just constantly, it's just, you know what, every 5 minutes there's something coming out of its backside. Okay, it's filthy, it's disgusting. I wish we didn't pick it up now. It is a beautiful bird, it's a little bit... But imagine, you're selling the dung to somebody. You know, and I don't know exactly what they use it for. Maybe fuel to light a fire. Maybe to eat it. I don't know, brethren, I don't know. But they're so desperate for just a dove's poo. Dove's feces, okay? They're so desperate. You know, they're just eating whatever scraps... Whatever they can find. Where does this lead to? Verse number 26. "And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn flour or out of the winepress?" So he's being sarcastic. If God's not going to help us, what can I do for you? All right? Verse number 28. "And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her, on the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh." A filthy, disgusting, all right? Two women, starving, hungry. One woman says, look, just let's kill your son. Let's boil it. Let's eat him so we can survive. And tomorrow I'll do the same to my son. And she does it. And the other woman, I mean, I guess she's still got motherly instincts. She doesn't want to give up her son. You know, she deceived the other woman. But I'm just trying to show you, brethren, how wicked a society can become when they just kill their own children, right? Oh, but it's for health reasons, Pastor Kevin, right? Where we're killing children so we can survive tomorrow, so we can eat their flesh and survive tomorrow. Pastor Kevin, it's just a vaccine. Who cares if it was developed on aborted tissues? Who cares if a baby was taken out of its mother and killed? It's for our health, isn't it? It's for our benefit, it's for our profit. Brethren, it's the same thing. Okay? We might not be ingesting babies, but we're injecting babies into our bloodstream. Disgusting. Listen, all the vaccinations, all the COVID vaccinations, okay, have either been developed, okay, or researched, or contain tissues of babies that have been murdered. All right? This is why I'm against vaccinations. Okay? This is why. I don't care that it could be harmful, I don't know, or good for you. That's not the issue, okay? That's not the issue. You know, that's not the issue at all for me, okay? I'm willing to surrender, to give into Babylon, to give into this world's power, whatever it is, okay? But I do not want to contribute to something as wicked as a murdered baby for my health, so I can survive tomorrow maybe. But this is a society that we live in, brethren. And then we wonder, why is God judging us? Well, what do you think? How wicked we've become, okay? I mean, God set Sodom and Gomorrah on fire, and what do we have in Sydney? All right? I mean, you can't even turn on the TV now without seeing the Sodomites shoving down their throats, you know, their wicked lifestyle, for our children to learn their ways. And we just think, God shouldn't be judged. God is judging us, brethren. Okay? God is judging Australia. God is judging this world. And yeah, we look at this, we think it's crazy. We think it's crazy, don't we? Boiling a baby so we can survive tomorrow? And then what's the whole world doing? You know, what's Australia? 90% double vax or something? I don't know. Okay? You know, people have just lost their morals, you know? And this is what happens. The further we get away from God's word, the further our nation gets away from the laws of God, the more depraved this nation becomes. Yep. Let's keep going there. Verse number 11. Sorry. Lamentations 4. Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 11. Now, verse number 11 is probably the hardest to wrap your head around after the verses that we've looked at. Okay? Because it says in verse number 11, "The Lord hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger and hath kindled a fire in Zion, and he hath devoured the foundations thereof." Now, of course, that fire is a literal fire. They burnt down the city. They burnt down the house of God. But I want you to notice that after it mentions that women have boiled and eaten their own children, it says that the Lord have accomplished his fury. This is part of God's judgment, that women would eat their own children. You know what? That little babies would be taken and murdered and turned into vaccines and for health benefits. This is part of God's fury, God's judgment on a wicked nation. Now, this is the hard part to wrap our minds around, okay? Because do you think for a minute that God wants women to become cruel and eat their own kids? Of course not. Of course not. This is why Jeremiah's been preaching for decades, right? Turn back to God. You know, give up on your idols. You know what? It's not so much that it's not God's doing. It's the doing of the wicked people on the earth, okay? And as the consequences of the wicked works of people, that is the consequence, or that is what produces God's judgment and God's wrath. It is by the wickedness of the hands of man. And God says, all right, if that's how you want to be, you want to turn against me, you want to live a life that is wicked and godless, then you're going to end up eating your own children. It's not God's desire, okay? It's just part of the consequences of a wicked world. And brethren, we live in a wicked world. We live in a wicked world. We live in a wicked society, brethren. All right? It's so important that we find ourselves in the house of God. You know what? And every year that goes on, I'm going to look weirder and weirder for preaching these things. You know, like we're normal, brethren. You know, this is normal. God's word is normality. God's word is truth. God's word is righteousness, but the more you stand on God's word, the more unusual we're going to look. But brethren, just because the world's going down the toilet and the world's becoming more wicked, let's not join the world. Let's not go down the same trajectory as them. Okay, let's just stand true. Let's speak Jeremiah. Yes, we weep, we cry, we warn. But brethren, if the world wants to go down the toilet, what more can we do? We can just tell people, hey, this is the judgment of God. These are the consequences of turning against the Lord God. Can you please keep your finger there and turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's, as I said, it's hard to wrap our heads around because, you know, I've mentioned before, you know, people that believe in Reformed theology or Calvinism, they look at these passages of God's fury and God's judgment and say, yeah, that was God's plan. Like, God premeditated, God planned for these people to become so wicked and eat their own kids. Like, it's God's doing. No, it's not God's doing, all right? It's the consequences of turning against God, all right? That's what it is. It's part of the fury of God, all right? Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. Let me just show you this. And I think, you know, as I was preparing this, I think I preached some of this stuff in Jeremiah. But anyway, it's good to be reminded, okay? Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. So after God, you know, is, after Israel has gone through the wilderness for 40 years, okay, God's prepared this nation to go into the promised land. We have the book of Deuteronomy. God, again, is repeating a second time the commandments, the laws of God, so the new generation will be aware of what God's expectation is upon them. And so we get to Deuteronomy 28, and God says, look, you can either choose to be blessed by me, or you can choose to be cursed by me. All right? And in Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Brethren, God wants to bless us. God wanted to bless Israel, right? If they just hearken, they just listen to God's voice, they just live the best life they could in accordance to God's will and God's ways, God says, look, you're going to be lifted up. You're going to be a mighty nation. And that's what they became. You know, under King David, under King Solomon, they become the greatest nation on the earth there, okay? A nation that prospers, a nation that pleases the Lord. And brethren, the same for you. You want to be blessed by God? You want to be lifted up? Listen to his words. Obey his commandments. Don't walk after the wicked paths of this world. That's what God wants from us, right? Obedience. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us great rewards. Drop down to verse number 15. We haven't got time to go through the whole chapter, obviously. Drop down to verse number 15. Now it says the opposite. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. So God says, look, you turn away from me, you're going to end up cursed. All right? Now, which of those two do you think God wants to do? Obviously, he wants to bless them. He wants to bless Israel. Just be obedient. Okay? I mean, God's word isn't really that heavy. Right? I mean, with the help of God, we can walk in his ways. And look, God knows we're not perfect. God knows we make mistakes. This is why he's merciful. This is why he's gracious. This is why we can come before him in prayer and ask for forgiveness. Okay, and then when we get that forgiveness, we move on and keep serving God to the best of our abilities, right? And if we do that, brethren, God will bless us. God will reward us. You think God wants to just curse us? You think that's why he created us, just to destroy us? Destroy Israel? Now, from verses 15 just down, we're just going to go, like, we're not going to read all the verses, but it's just curse after curse after curse after curse. You can read about it in your own time. But drop down to verse number 49, please. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 49. I just want to show you this part of the curse of God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far. Is that what happened to Israel? Yep. Is that what happened to Judah? Yep. Okay, the Syrians for the northern kingdom of Israel, the Babylonians for the southern kingdom of Israel, of Judah. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, nor wine, nor oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. Now let's keep going there. Verse number 52. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates. Is that what happened? Yep. They were under siege. Okay. Samaria and Jerusalem. Verse number 52. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Look at verse number 53. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. Now, the reason I've read that to you, brethren, is to show you that all the way back in the time of Moses, all the way back before this nation came into the land of Canaan, God warned them. God warned them from the very beginning, okay? This isn't like some unexpected result, you know, of killing children, you know, eating poo, eating feces. This isn't just some, we didn't know. God warned them all the way back in Deuteronomy. Hey, if you walk in my ways, you keep my commandments, I'll bless you. If you turn against me, some nation's going to come against you, they're going to seize you, and you're going to end up eating your own kids. Brethren, all they had to do was believe God's word. That's all they had to do. Oh man, we don't want this to happen to our nation. We don't want to be cursed by God. We believe God's word. They didn't believe God's word. They didn't believe the preacher. They didn't believe Jeremiah. And they just thought, no, we're going to rebel against Babylon. We're not going to surrender. You know, we're too prideful for that. And they end up eating their own children. God warned them, brethren. God warned them. It's not like, oh, we didn't know. You know? What do you think Jeremiah's preaching? He's preaching, of course, he's preaching the book of Jeremiah, but he's preaching the laws of the land. He's reminding them, God's warned us about this. Wake up to yourselves. They didn't. And they just went down the path of God's curse. As I said, the COVID-19 vaccines, they've been developed, researched, or manufactured, all of them, using tissues from murdered children. And that's what it is, brethren. It's murdered children. Yep. It's not just embryonic fetal cells, whatever they like to term. It's murdered babies. All right, brethren? So again, this is why I'm against the vaccinations. All right? Verse number 12. Back to Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 12. And again, brethren, if you end up deciding to take these vaccinations, it's just the consequences, brethren, of the judgment of God on the land of Australia. You know, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? Verse number 12. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Like, so people look at Jerusalem now and go, we can't believe it. Like, they were once a prosperous, strong nation. There were so many people that were just doing so well, it seemed, on the outside. And now it just come. How did Babylon come in and just destroy this place? It's unbelievable. You know what else is unbelievable? COVID world. It's unbelievable that the whole world, right? All the nations, all the politicians, all the governments have bowed their knee to who? To the World Health Organization. Or whoever else is pulling the strings. I don't know. It's unbelievable, brethren. But it's a judgment of God. Believe it. That's what it is. It's a judgment of God. Okay? Verse number 13. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests. So what are the prophets and the priests? Religious leaders. Okay? The sins of the prophets, iniquities of her priests, that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. You know, Jeremiah is saying here that the religious leaders are guilty of blood. The reason people are suffering and dying is because of the religious leaders. Verse number 14. They have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood so that men could not touch their garments. So Jeremiah's saying, look, the religious leaders are at fault here. All right? Now, if you can, please keep your finger there and turn to Ezekiel 33. Please turn to Ezekiel 33 and verse number 1. Ezekiel 33, verse number 1. You know, I'm one of these. I'm one of these prophets. Okay, not an Old Testament prophet, but a prophet is someone that proclaims God's word. I'm a religious leader, as it were, a pastor. Okay? And you know what? I need to listen to this. I can be guilty of blood too. All right? If I don't teach God's word faithfully, if I don't warn people of God's judgment, if I don't teach you against sin, I can be guilty of blood as well. Okay? You know, you might think, well, mate, Pastor Kevin, you shouldn't just, you know, okay, yeah, the Bible does say that women ate their children, but did you have to really preach about that? You know what I mean? I mean, it's not pleasant. You know, you've got little children here, Pastor Kevin. You know, do you think that's... Listen, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. It's all profitable, okay, even for children, all right? But look at Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Ezekiel 33, verse number 1. It says here, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, that's to Ezekiel, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Brethren, as a religious leader, as the pastor of this church, I'm also a watchman. The bishop is an overseer. It's to watch. It's to supervise. Okay? It's my job to warn you. If I don't warn you, brethren, then I'm going to be guilty of your blood. Look, my job is just to warn you, to blow the trumpet. And then it's up to you. Are you going to hear the trumpet or you're not? It's up to you. And if you don't hear the trumpet and you destroy yourself, the blood's upon you. It's not upon me. I don't want your blood upon me, brethren. You know what? This is why I'm just going to preach to you God's word, even if it's not pleasant, all right? Even if it doesn't make us feel good. You know what? It's God's word. We're up to Lamentations 4. It needs to be preached. If I go, man, you know, God, that's just a little bit of a hard chapter. I think we'll just avoid this one this week. You know, I won't preach about that. And you know what? And you make some mistakes that we see there in Lamentations 4, your blood, your mistakes are upon me. All right? Let's keep going there. Verse number five. He heard the sound of the trumpet. Ezekiel 33, 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Brethren, I want you to deliver your soul. I'm not talking about salvation because I know at least the majority of you definitely are saved. Amen. We're talking about our life. We can just living a life that is pleasing to God. And we don't destroy ourselves with sin. We don't destroy ourselves with weakness, brethren. When you hear the trumpet blow, listen to the trumpet and do what the trumpet's telling you to do, brethren. All right? But if you don't, the blood's upon you. Verse number 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, so if I don't warn you, if I don't preach against sin, if I just avoid portions of the Bible because it's not pleasant, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Brethren, that's my job, to warn you. You know, listen to God's word, to warn you, to tell you we are living through God's judgment right now. I hope it changes, brethren. I hope come December 15th, unvaccinated, able to re-enter society. And I hope little by little our freedoms all come back. And I hope that we don't take it for granted, that we enjoy the experience that we went through, that we look back at COVID world and go, man, that was crazy. But you know what? It was unbelievable. Hey, but it was God's judgment. And, you know, thank God that we had Blessed Hope Baptist Church, or we had, you know, great preaching, or whatever preacher it was that you listened to that got us through, that helped us, that encouraged us, that taught us great things. And, you know, we need to do better in the future. I hope that's your attitude, brethren. But I don't know. Could things be worse next year? They could be worse next year. You know, I don't know, brethren. I really don't know. Okay? But my job is to warn. You know, please don't get offended when things aren't pleasant in the Bible. Okay? It's my job just to preach God's word, to warn, to blow the trumpet. And then it's up to you. Do you want to listen to the trumpet or not? You know what? You know, as long as I'm doing what I'm required to do as a religious leader, then your blood's upon you. You mess up your life, you destroy your life. Well, I'll be sad for you, brethren, but at least it's not on me. You know, I'd feel horrible if I didn't warn you, if I didn't preach against sin, and you guys went off with bad preaching, a bad religious leader, and you end up destroying your life. Then it's upon me. Back to Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 15. Lamentations 4:15. So Israel, or Judah at this time, they had poor religious leaders. They did not warn them. They did not blow the trumpet. And so they were guilty of the blood, of the death that was taking place in Jerusalem. Verse number 15. They cried unto them. Now, I found these verses a little bit hard. I think what's happening here, they are the people of Jerusalem. They cried unto them, being the priests and the prophets that we just read about. That's what I think is happening here. Okay, they cried unto them, depart ye, it is unclean. Depart, depart, touch not. The reason I think it's this way is because the priests were supposed to keep themselves clean for the service of the house of God. Right? They had the ceremony washings and things like that. Well, the whole city has become disgusting. Everyone's homeless. People are eating feces, right? People are boiling their own children. And just look, and they're telling the priest, look, just look, depart, get out of here. Everything's unclean. There's nothing, there's no service that you can do for us anymore. It's all dirty. Depart, depart, touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, they shall no more sojourn there. So they've lost their ministry. Okay, these people were unfaithful to God's word. They were not warning the people of the sins. Things have become so bad. And people say, look, just go away. There's no more use that you can do for us here in Jerusalem. And they wander away to the heathen. They shall no more sojourn there. They will no longer come back to Jerusalem and work in their offices as prophets and priests. Verse number 16. Look at this. The anger of the Lord hath divided them. So divided these religious leaders from the rest of the people. He will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priests. They favored not the elders. Okay? So the people at some point, they wanted the smooth preaching. They wanted, to be told that this is not God's judgment. They wanted to be told that Babylon's not going to take over them. Okay? They wanted the positive only preaching. But when they received the positive only preaching, brethren, it did not help them. It only destroyed them. It destroyed the city. And at this point, they're like, we don't want to even hear from these guys anymore. Now look, I'm sure there are people in this world that do not want to hear from me, okay? They don't like my preaching. They don't like that I just say it as it is, right, according to God's word. But I'd much rather that than someone says, Pastor, just preach the smooth things. Just tickle our ears. Yeah, because at some point, if that's all I do, brethren, then you get sick of me as well. You're going to be like, get out of here. We don't, you know, you don't profit us anything. My life doesn't improve. You know, I still don't know if I'm saved. That's what false prophets do. They preach complicated gospels. People still don't know if they're saved. They commit one sin. Am I saved? I committed a sin. They don't understand that salvation is on the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. And then at some point, you get sick of these preachers. Man, I thought I wanted the positive only preaching, but it doesn't help me in life. I'm not any closer to Jesus Christ. I'm still committing the same sins that I've always committed, you know, before I came to Christ. Verse number 17. As for us, our eyes have yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. So instead of, you know, going to the Lord for help, you know, recognizing that, hey, we're far from God and let's get back to God, they reached out to another nation. If you remember the book of Jeremiah, that nation they reached out to help for was Egypt. All right? They thought Egypt will come and protect us. No. No, not only that, afterwards Egypt was taken over by the Babylonians as well. Okay, verse number 18. They hunt our steps. So Babylon hunts our steps, that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. Our end is come. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid waits for us in the wilderness. So they're acknowledging, man, Babylon's too great. Too powerful. We can't beat them. Okay? We're defeated. Verse number 20. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow, we shall live among the heathen. All right, so in verse number 20, the anointed of the Lord there is King Zedekiah. Okay, so when they say the breath of our nostrils, that's talking about life. Remember how when Adam was created, then God breathed his spirit into his nostrils, you know, gave him life. So that's basically saying, you know, the one that we trusted with our lives, the anointed of the Lord, that's not, they didn't trust in Jesus. It was Zedekiah. Zedekiah was like, no, we're not giving in to the Babylonians. And the people of Jerusalem, they were trusting in Zedekiah, right? Surely Zedekiah is going to get us through these tough times. You know, it says, the anointed of the Lord was taken in their pits. Even Zedekiah, okay, you may remember, he was blinded. You know, his children were slain in front of him. And then he was taken away into captivity. Even the guy, as we said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. Even the guy that we try to protect ourselves under his shadow, even he's been taken away into captivity. This is why we don't trust man. We trust the Lord. Okay? We don't set our eyes upon a man or upon a pastor. We set our eyes upon the Lord. We can't hide under the shadow of a man, brethren. We hide under the wings of our Lord God. That's where true protection is. But they trusted in a man. They trusted in their king. Verse number 21. Rejoice and be glad. Oh, see, here's the positive one, Pastor Kevin. Rejoice and be glad. Who? Oh, daughter of Edom. The Edomites, not the Jews. Okay. Now, Jeremiah's been sarcastic here. Okay. Because the Edomites were enemies of the Jews. And when the Edomites saw the Babylonians come in and take over the Jews, the Edomites were like, yeah, woohoo! Right? Take that. So Jeremiah's kind of like sarcastically saying to the Edomites, because remember, he's a prophet to the nations. Right? He's preaching to many nations. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. Then he says this, the cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shall make thyself naked. It says, once Babylon's finished with us, they're coming after you, Edom. So rejoice in the meantime, sarcastically, all right? But it's all coming to you as well. Verse number 22. The punishment of thine iniquity, that's iniquity of Edom, is accomplished. Oh, no, sorry, Jerusalem here. Yeah. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion, so that's the daughter of Jerusalem. He will no more carry thee away into captive. So once the captive, once Babylon's finished with Judah and Jerusalem and people are taken into captivity, it says, he will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins. It says, you're not going to get away with it, Edom. All right? And, you know, again, you want to take a much lesser view, like a lighter view of here and what's happening in our world. You know, when COVID was first sort of, you know, came, you know, in our nation, it was Victoria, right? It was Melbourne that was under lockdown. In fact, I think they're still probably the city, the most lockdown city in the world. And we will turn around and say, man, there must be great wickedness in Victoria, in Melbourne. And yes, there is great wickedness, right? And it's one of the most liberal. It's most one of the most, probably the most anti-God. It's the most godless state in our nation, okay? But then, yeah, okay, yeah, Victoria, yeah, look at them cop it. But then it comes to Sydney, all right? And then they're in Queensland. They think, man, yeah, you know, New South Wales, Victoria, that must be so bad. You know what? This week, they're going to be locked out as well in Queensland. Okay, I mean, it's just hitting every part, brethren, you know, because there's great sin across this entire world. And this is another reason why I just believe we're seeing the hand of God's judgment, because no one's getting away with it. Like, everyone's been affected. Everyone's going through hardships. You know, everyone's life has been turned upside down. Everyone's plans have been messed up. And so, you know, just I guess this again reminds us of, we should never look at others and say, look how sinful they are. Because we've got our sins. You know, Edom, looking at, oh, yeah, they must have been so sinful. Look, they're so wicked. Even God, even their own gods wiped them out. Yeah, now God's going to wipe you out. You're next. Okay, and he's going to use Babylon the same way that he used them against Jerusalem. I'm going to just quickly read to you from Jeremiah 49. Maybe you want to turn there, you're not far away. Jeremiah 49, verse number 7. We'll end on this one. Jeremiah 49, verse number 7. Just to remind you that Jeremiah was a prophet to Edom as well, to the Edomites. Jeremiah 49, verse 7. Jeremiah 49, verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan. For I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. Just trying to remind you there, that after Jeremiah, when we look at the last few chapters of the book of Jeremiah, not only has he finished preaching against Judah, but then he's preaching about the surrounding nations. And in Jeremiah chapter 49, he's preaching against the Edomites. All right, so brethren, again, just a reminder, we all have sins, okay? Don't compare yourself to another man. Don't compare yourself to the wicked in this world, brethren, because you've got your sins as well. When we compare ourselves to the wicked, we think we're just fine in the eyes of God, okay? But in reality, we should just look at ourselves, assess our situation, understand we've all got wicked hearts, okay? We all have sins against the Lord. We've got the old man. We're rebellious. You know, we live a life that pleases us many times, brethren. You know, just make sure to avoid the hand of God's judgment. Now, God's not going to curse us. We cannot be cursed by God because we're his children. But just remind yourself that as a prophet, God chastises us, okay? And again, God gives us time, his long-suffering. You know what? You're much better off finding the sins in your own heart, getting right with God before you're having to deal with some major judgment in your life. So let's learn from Lamentations chapter 4. The title for the sermon once again was Sodom and Their Own Children. They'd become very depraved. But please remind yourself, children are being murdered every day in our nation, and no one cares. No one cares. It's not reported in the news. We forget about it. We forget about it. But it's happening in our nation as well. We live in a very depraved and wicked world. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for Lamentations chapter 4. Lord, as hard it is to preach through and understand, Lord, we do just rest in your word. Lord, it gives us a greater understanding of your anger and your wrath and your judgment, Lord. But also, Lord, we understand that you've given this nation decades, Lord, to get right with you. You've sent them godly men, preachers, Lord, preaching the truth. But Lord, they hearken unto the false prophets. Lord, there are so many false prophets in Australia today. So many, Lord, and so very few faithful men serving you. Lord, I pray you'd protect your people, protect your children. Lord, I pray that you'd send every one of your children, Lord, in Australia, Lord, a good church that they can be part of, a good man of God that you can use to help them learn more of your word, Lord. Help us to change and to stem the tide, Lord, of this wicked world. Lord, I don't know how much we can affect this world. All we can do is keep preaching Jesus Christ and preaching the truth. Lord, I hope that you would look upon this land and look at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and see a people that love you, that want to serve you, that want a better world, Lord, for our next generations. Lord, and be merciful to us. Be merciful to us, Lord. We need your peace. We need your love. Help us to get through this time of judgment. Lord, we love you. And Lord, help us also, looking forward to the time that we can go soul winning. Lord, on the 15th, thank you for opening that door for us. I pray that you bless us, Lord, in the work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's take our hymnals. And let's turn to hymn number 388. Hymn number 388. And we'll sing Have Thine Own Way. No, I got the wrong number. I want to sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord. So let's try to find it. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. 306. Thank you, brother. 306. Have Thine Own Way.
Have Thine Own Way. Today, whiter than snow, Lord. washed me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold all my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Amen. Great singing. That's it for the